Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Orient Bell Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Smit Shah from Pareto Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Ranju. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Smit Shah from Pareto Capital. We represent investor relations for Orient Bell. On behalf of Orient Bell, I welcome you all to our Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. I have with me from the management, Mr. Aditya Gupta, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Himanshu Jindal, Chief Financial Officer. We will have a brief opening remark from the management, followed by a Q&A session. Please note that certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to certain risks and uncertainties. Orient Bell Limited will not be in a way responsible for any actions taken based on such statements and undertake no obligation to publicly update these forward-looking statements. I would now like to hand the call to Mr. Gupta for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. Given the low base last year-on-year comparison is not relevant. Moreover, quarter one is historically a weaker quarter in the industry. However, we have beaten the best quarter one top line in pre-COVID years by 27%. We are happy to have successfully navigated the uncertainties and volatility around input costs and demand. The tight focus on product mix and input costs have helped us post our 9.5% EBITDA, which is better than FY22, while simultaneously maintaining our discipline on trade receivables. During Q1, we witnessed healthy traction, especially on the project front, both in terms of actual offtake and buildup of new order pipeline. We have retained a strong focus on our own manufacturing and higher value, more profitable products. We have been selective on projects and consciously decided to forgo some top-line revenue rather than expose ourselves to credit risks. We implemented a 15% price increase in own manufacturing in end April. However, input costs, especially natural gas, have been going up month-on-month, and this definitely impacts margins. In own manufacturing, we are holding on to the price increase taken over the last 9 months. While on trading sales, we have increased our discounts, which have been compensated through better buying prices. While Himanshu will share more details around the financial performance of the quarter, let me briefly give you some quick pointers on our key operational indicators. On the people front, we have added new positions to support sales and manufacturing. Net addition of 20 people was done in this quarter, and our truth-to-tail ratio has improved to 2.35 from 2.3 last year. On the distribution front, we have hosted our Unstoppable event in April and May across 11 cities. The management team, starting with me, have met more than 200 channel partners face-to-face over these 11 meetings. Foreign travel schemes for joints for Nepal for our premium channel partners were organized during quarter one. We have also added 20 exclusive tile boutique stores, Orient Bell Tile Boutiques, a net addition of 20, which brings the total number of operational displays to 305 as of 30th June 2022. On the product side, we have increased our share of own manufacturing to sales to 75% versus 67% last year quarter one. thus ensuring better profitability. Our new product introduction continues to drive revenues, and this has contributed to 17% of our revenues in Q1 FY23. Digital has been a major differentiator for OBL, and we continue in our efforts to make tile buying and selling easier. Multiple initiatives via online forums and social media platforms drove outreach to build awareness and preference with both B2B and B2C customers. Some exit statistics on our digital reach, which is June 22 versus June 21. Our website engagements have increased by 4 times. Our social media engagement has increased by 1.6 times. With this, I request our CFO, Himanshu Jindal, for the financial and other updates. Over to you, Himanshu. Thank you.
Thanks, Aditya. Good afternoon, all. Normal quarter one after a gap of 2 years, and that too the best quarter one in terms of the highest ever sales value and profitability for OBL. Like Aditya mentioned, relative comparison at least on revenue and profitability with last year is not too relevant. Comparing quarter one FY20, which was the first the last normalized quarter, that baseline, I think we have finally achieved what we finally achieved in the last quarter on revenues. We were 27% up. On a volumes basis, 6%, and the ASPs were higher by 20%. Costs continue to be a key watch. We did get impacted by steep inflation in energy and other input costs, but we were still able to mitigate part of this via the strategic interjections that we had introduced last year itself. So we further optimized our consumption KPIs and implemented more economical alternative sourcing options, especially for power and fuel. Again, on a relative basis, savings from these interjections on a YOY basis look steep because of the low production base last year, but on a more comparable and like-for-like basis, we did save approximately 1.8% in production costs sequentially versus the last quarter, which is quarter four. EBITDA expanded. We did 14.6 crores, which is almost double of what we managed to do in quarter one. Even in terms of margins, this meant an improvement of 370 basis points to 9.5%. While the consolidated PAT too improved to 7 crores, up from 0.5 crore in quarter one FY20. On the CAPEX front, two more of our projects at Secunderabad and Dora have got implemented end of June, well within the time and the agreed budgets. The Hoscott expansion project too is progressing well, and we do expect commissioning of this new line within the indicated timelines. On the balance sheet front, we continue to remain cash positive despite paying for the ongoing CAPEX projects, and our working capital cycle remains comfortable as well. I think we can request the moderator to open the lines for Q&A, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Arpit Shah from Stallion Assets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Manju, hi, Aditya.
Hi, Arpit.
Yeah, congratulations on good execution. I had a couple of questions. At Orient Bell, in the last 3 years, we've improved upon debt, we've improved upon working capital. We've got almost all the things right, even a beat on tech. So now, how do you like want to scale up? Because you have been stuck in a band of 500 to 650 crores of revenue. How do we break out from this and go to, let's say, 1,000 crore revenue? What kind of triggers you all have, or what kind of things you all have put in place which can help us accelerate our growth, it is on the top line front going ahead?
Hi, Alpin, Aditya here.
Yeah.
Thanks for a great question. I think the way to get to 1,000 crores for us involves a few initiatives. First, which you already spoken about, was to get our house in order, which is in terms of our product mix, our execution abilities, getting our receivables and, you know, profitability in shape and all. This is something which we have been putting out good results quarter on quarter and kind of improving with every reporting period. Now going forward, I think we have also started a capex cycle, as Himanshu spoke about. For the last 2 years, we have been adding to our capacity. We would have added close to 5 million square meters, or will add close to 5 million square meters, say, over the last 2 years. So that is something which is ongoing, and we are also actively looking at other capacity expansion possibilities. How we want to place ourselves in the market, I would say that we are clear that we are late starters. There is a big gap between us and some of the market leaders, and we have to do things a lot differently to be able to bridge this gap. And as I've spoken in the past, the biggest thing which differentiates us is a very strong focus on digital and our vision of making and selling, making tile buying and selling easy. And we continue to see a lot of traction on this. I talked about the 200 plus channel partners we met face to face across 11 cities in the month of April and May. And the feedback that we are getting from them very consistently is that our efforts on digital, our efforts on digital advertising and the tools that we have put out there are making life easier and simpler for channel partners. So through, you know, over the next few years, we have to expand manufacturing capacity. We are working on expanding our distribution and display footprints. And as you have seen, strengthening our ground, our sales team in numbers and quality to get to that figure.
Got it. So technology is one of our biggest trends. That is what you have been highlighting out. So let's say today someone else or some other leader wants to build out a technology for themselves. How much time would they take to actually take in to build that? Because you always spend close to two to three years building out the tech, building out the digital capability. How much time would it, let's say, for another company take to build that, and what kind of moats you all have built around?
So thanks, Arpit. I think, see, the technology is, I would say, easier to build. Yes, so it has taken us 2 years. Somebody starts today. You know, when we started building this whole thing up, there was nobody within the tile industry that we could look up to and learn from. Somebody starts today, I'm sure they would be able to do it in a lesser time period, the technology part. But I believe that much more than technology is the anthropology, which is critical here. By anthropology, I mean that it is easy to have technology there, to have the tools there, but it is extremely difficult to convince your internal teams and the channel partners to use it. That's what I call the anthropology part. And I think that is tough. Because, and that is the real moat, I would say, because for somebody who has been born and brought up and has seen success in the traditional way of doing things, for them to be, for that leadership to be convinced that they should try something different is, it takes time. So while technology, I think, will maybe a year and a half people would be able to build, but to get the people to use it would take a much longer time.
Right. And just one more question. Let's say yesterday the market leader also reported their results, and we also reported our results. I just wanted to understand the seasonality difference between both the companies. Like Kajaria reported a 10% or a 12% QOQ drop, and we reported a close to 28% QOQ drop in terms. So what kind of product mix is actually, you know, what kind of customers we are serving which are different than the others? Because the drop was typically massive for us on the QOQ side, but historically it has been that. But for Kajaria, it was a normalized quarter where they had a probably a 10% drop in revenue. So what is that difference in seasonality between the two companies?
So Arpit, Himanshu this side, see, there is a factor of seasonality for sure between quarter four and quarter one. Someone has lower impact, someone has a higher impact. And I think, you know, what we need to appreciate here is see the way our sales are structured versus, let's say, that of someone else. Correct? In our case, very clearly, you know, as we have mentioned in the past also, our project sales are a little higher than what others have, right? Traditionally, this is how it is. So this obviously plays a role. You know that most of the projects are approaching, you know, us and taking supplies from us closer to 31st March, right, and stocking that. Therefore, you know, we get hit a little bit more in quarter one, but over a normalized full year, I think you will see our performances improving quarter on quarter. Every single quarter is different for us. We tend to do better in quarter three, quarter four. This has been historical.
Okay. And what will be the retail mix versus the project mix for us?
So, you know, based on the definition that we have been saying now consistently for the last two calls, this would be anything between 20-25% would be, you know, you can classify that as projects now.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajesh Kumar Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. I have two questions. First, could you share how much is the export revenue for you of the total volumes, total sales?
Hi, Rajesh. So you're asking about the percentage of export revenues, correct?
Yeah, in your revenue mix, how much is exports this quarter one and for FY22?
Insignificant, Rajesh. Wouldn't even be 0.5%.
Oh, okay. So you're mostly a domestic based player, right?
Yeah, we are totally a domestic player.
Great. My second question pertains to the gas prices. You have mentioned in the presentation that, your north plant, Secunderabad, I believe you have written that the gas prices have shot up sequentially by more than 100% in Q1.
She said that it is for the Dora plant, not the Secunderabad plant. The Dora plant has gone up by
100%. Okay, Morbi.
No, not Morbi. This is near Baroda in District Bharuch.
Okay. So, just wanting to understand what is happening on the gas front. You know, how much was your actual impact on the gas prices in Q1? And what is the situation in Q2?
Okay, in our case, like we've always mentioned, there are three plants of our own. Yeah, there are two JVs based out of Morbi. So Morbi is something that you all are aware of. You know, the price is around 68. Yeah. In our own plants, obviously one is at Secunderabad, which is in UP, yeah, next to Noida. The other is, like Aditya mentioned, based out of Dora, yeah, next to Baroda. And finally, there is a third plant next to Bangalore, Oscott. There are different pricing agreements there, different kind of contracts, all via GAIL. Yeah? And yes, the prices have been pretty volatile. Every single 15 days, at least in Secunderabad, for example, prices are changing. Yeah? What we said in our release also was that we have had been hit at Dora, which is the cheapest gas that you get. It's been doubled up. Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, and this price will continue at least till September end. Correct? So the same price continues from 1st of April till 30th September because this is the APM contract. Right?
Okay.
It may go up, it may go down. It will all depend on what the government finally agrees for. Yeah? So far the trends are or only indicating that this will further go up. Yeah, this is how the Henry Hub is at least reflecting. In terms of whatever we get at Secunderabad hotspot, yes, the price has been volatile. Like I said, it's traded in the range of 55, 65, you know, in that range over the last 6 months.
So, you know, Q1, could you give a split of the costing across the four plants?
So Secunderabad would have been close to 60.
More than 60.
No, Q1. Yeah, average. You know, hotspot would be 5 rupees dearer.
65, okay.
Roughly around that level. And then finally, Dora would be around 20 to 23.
Okay, 23. And this Morbi was 68?
Yes, yes.
And where do they stand currently, sir, in Q2?
Q2, only 15 days have gone by, 20 days. Yeah, so only the first cycle has come up, but yes, the prices have moved up further.
Yeah, so by how much current prices would be versus these average numbers?
5 rupees more, approximately 5 rupees more in Secunderabad and Hotspot.
And Dora is almost 46, 50 rupees.
No change in Dora, no change in Morbi.
Okay, Dora is already increased to 23, so Dora and Morbi are flattish and rest are higher slightly by 5 rupees is what you mentioned, right? Okay, understood. And sir, you know, the market leader yesterday was talking that with export market remaining strong, we expect the, you know, it should be have a positive bearing on the market. What is your reading? You know, what is, if exports are strong, why are Morbi unorganized players taking a shutdown? You know, which where is the calculation mismatch in terms of demand and supply leading to, you know, a shutdown for a month?
So I think first of all, let's understand what export market is. Yeah, the normalized run rate on exports used to be in the range of 700 to 750, maximum 800, pre-COVID. Okay. The run rate last quarter, in quarter one of last year, last fiscal, was approximately 3,500 in that quarter. And on value terms, even in this quarter, the last quarter which has gone by, quarter one FY23, on value terms, we are more or less flat. Okay? Which translates into something like 1,100, 1,200 kind of a run rate per month.
Right. Okay.
So yes, the exports have gone up. It's not gone down, first of all. Second, there is definitely a lot of new capacity which has got added. Yeah, some 85 watt plants adding up onto a base of 800 odd means at least 10% of capacity by number, and because these capacities are much larger in size, more efficient, you know, in percentage terms, this could be even higher than 10%, right?
Okay.
Please also appreciate, you know, so one side is this, you know, whatever is demand supply and why people are taking certain calls, right? You also need to get aligned to the idea that the energy costs are continuously going up more for Europe. Yeah. So the capacities which were competing with us globally, Italy, Spain, for them the prices have gone up from almost like 18 months back. It used to be, let's say, around 20 euros per megawatt hour. What I read was it was 80 euros last month. This month it's already 160. So it's doubled up. So that means that, you know, these guys are obviously facing heat on inflation much, much more than the people on shore here in Morbi, right? Even the container freight movement, the container freight rates have gone down, correct? Why not able to as much as what we wanted to do? The one reason for that was definitely, you know, the container freight rates going up last year. But this coming, the energy cost going up in Europe, There is a favorable impact which will come in definitely this year. Yeah. So how much, how soon, we need to see. I think what Morbi is doing in a way, because you also need to appreciate that they took a similar shutdown last year.
Correct.
Right. And then there was stability. You know, the prices went up because of the cost going up, etc., etc. So learn from their experience. They are only trying to see if it works now as well. Knowing that there is new capacity already, knowing that, you know, they will be in a much better bargaining position vis-a-vis the customer and the vendor. I think it's good for them if they have decided this. It's all the better for us as organized players, no?
Correct. Agree. So what I take it from your country is that the export market remains at similar levels, buoyant level of last year, same quarter, 3,300-3,500 crore types. Benefits of the Europe surge in the gas prices in Europe is not yet reflected in current quarter sales, but in subsequent quarters, Indian Morbi players should benefit from this arbitrage. Is that understanding correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Rajesh, I just add one more thing. When we say that the exports are flat, we are talking in value terms. But understand that there has been a steep increase in per square meter prices in the last 12 months, even in Morbi.
Correct.
So if you factor that out in volume terms, you could easily say that the exports are 10 to 20% lower in volume terms.
Lower, right. Correct, correct, sir.
That has a direct impact on the number of units which can stay up and running.
Agree. And that is an incremental supplies of more than 10% is adding to the near-term supply imbalance, and hence this 1 month shutdown would try to balance it out.
Absolutely. The extra capacity of say 10% coming in, the volumes on export going down by 10%. You're talking about 20% gap in supply and demand.
Gap in supply. Cool. Great, sir. And thank you. All the best. And your capacity now is around 35 MSM?
It's around 32. Plus, there is, like we always say, there is a possibility to sell more via outsourcing. Right? So we converted our Dora line from ceramic to vitrified. So we are saying that approximately 1.2 more we can add easily out of outsourcing.
Okay. Okay. Great, sir. Thank you. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financials. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations for good set of numbers. What I wanted to check was, if you look at the volume growth, which is about 1% on a 3-year CAGR, and I'm sure we have gained market share. So how do we look at the domestic industry? Is the domestic industry seeing a declining volumes, or it's kind of flattish? How do we look at this?
Hi, Achal. Afternoon. I think so. Last year was a great year in terms of, I'm talking about FY22, volumes and everything kind of moved up. Quarter one also has been up, but there are also, you know, some negative signals and some missing in the market. One of the things we are talking about, what Rajesh was questioning in terms of why Morbi is has taken all these shutdowns. And so I see with all this inflation happening, things becoming costlier, there's possibly going to be an impact on volumes, but it's wait and watch. How much of this impact on volumes, negative impact on volumes is getting covered with Morbi actually shutting down and all, time will tell. But from our perspective, we are kind of cautiously optimistic for the future. I think it's a great time to be an organized tile industry. And after many, many years in terms of our cost base, in terms of compliance requirements and all, we are quite competitive with Morbi.
Understood. And just one more question, you know, how easy or difficult is to outsource, in terms of the availability of capacity, B, in terms of the quality of the supply, and C, the pricing?
So, Achal, it is quite easy. We maintain a large team in Morbi, which not just a sourcing team, but also a very strong quality team, which ensures that every time we get a vendor, and every time a batch is made, the quality check is done by OBL employees before it is packed and shipped out to the market. So getting in, also we also enjoy extremely great reputation in Morbi in terms of paying on time, in terms of never ever having had a dispute with any vendor in Morbi over the last 10-15 years. So it is not a problem at all, and in the last 2-3 months it has been more a buyer's market in Morbi than a seller's market. So from that perspective, you walk into any vendor with a requirement, we are welcomed with open arms. So not really an issue. It is an issue for some players which have had the kind of patchy histories in terms of paying up on time and disputes and all, but for Orient Bell, it's very, very smooth.
Got it. And just a small follow-up on that, what is the lead lag with respect to how soon does the capacity become available? Let's say you have a demand for let's say 10,000 boxes. How easy is to add this vendor? Does it take a couple of days, a week, or 15 days or anything, if you could clarify?
I think I should. So broadly, I would say it would be a couple of weeks and all, because it would mean some kind of a new design creation. You are matching a tile to an existing design and all, some developmental work and all. So it could be, I would say, maybe from, I mean, if it's a new design I'm talking, it would be from, say, 7 days to maximum 20 days.
Got it. This is super helpful. I wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ajay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naisar Parikh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. On the Morbi plant, just want to clarify, so even our JV plant there will be shut down for a month, and does that impact, should we assume that impact to our sales, because 25% comes from there?
So our plants are going to work. Okay, there is no impact to the JV operations. And also with our trading counterparties, we have sufficient stock, so that should not be a problem.
Got it. And on the Dora gas prices, you mentioned they continue to increase. So what is the main reason for that increase? Like, is that, the lower prices, the incentives we had, is it going to go away? So should we assume it will come at par with, in the 65 range going in the near term?
Naisa, your line is not clear. Haven't understood the question. Can you please repeat?
Yeah, sure. Sorry. My question was on the Dora gas prices. Should we assume that the lower prices benefit that we have will go away in the near term, and it will come to the 60-65 range in par with other plants?
I don't think so. There are a large number of units, who are on this administered pricing mechanism gas. And the way it works is that this is gas which is produced from small local fields. To make an infrastructure to kind of evacuate this gas in terms of pipes and everything is significantly more expensive. So it has always been that this gas gets consumed closer to the well. So I don't think so, but this is, at the end of the day, this is something which is determined by the Government of India from time to time. The price of 11 rupees which we were paying till in FY22 had been there for, I would say, almost four or five years or something like that. So 11 or 13, so that's okay. An average of about 12 rupees or 13 rupees in FY22. Which has been constant for I think 3-4 years or so.
Got it. And on the digital initiatives that you mentioned, right, I just want to check, do you, you know, kind of track the impact of it on sales, you know, like either what percentage comes from the digital channels or even the tile boutique that we have or the experience center, what percentage of people who go there actually make a purchase or something like that? Like, is there any quantifiable metric that you track?
So as a, yes, we track a lot of KPIs. For example, I did mention that, for example, our website traffic compared to June 21 versus June 22 is 1:4. So these are metrics and all which we look at every month. And also the various, you know, other things in terms of social media followers, the number of users of our digital tools and all. So I'll just give you another figure. The usage of all our digital tools put together, June 21 versus June 22, is up by about 45-50%. So we keep, and that's the benefit of digital, that you can track everything.
Right, no, I actually meant the impact on sales, because, you know, how much of this, like how much of the increase in website or social media engagement actually translates to more volumes? Like, is there any way to kind of, you know, track conversion rates or something like that? Do you track that?
So, Nasser, that is a slightly more difficult thing to do. We do get leads and all through our website. That is, we track that. But typically what happens is in our industry, we do not have a window into the secondary sales from our channel partner, from our dealer. So in the absence of that data, it is, you know, kind of impossible to know exactly how much quantitatively. But as I said, when we are meeting our channel partners and we see the kind of interest, when we started on this journey of digital 3 years back, people used to look at me with totally blank faces and kind of say, what the hell, this is not something which works in our industry. And today, 2 months back when we had these various town halls, we met these 200 plus channel partners. Every one of them was hungry for more. So many of them told me that, look, we don't understand this, but my son is, you know, 25 years old, 30 years old and all, and I would like him to be trained in all of this because he understands this much more, I don't. So we are seeing that traction and we are seeing that feedback, which is extremely positive across.
Okay, I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Divesh from DS Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Just a quick question in terms of your opening commentary. You sort of called out that you did let some of the project business go. Just if you can share some qualitative aspects that what is the framework, how we decide about you know, letting go of some of the work. So is it like completely gone or it's going to add up in coming quarters?
So Devesh, these are projects which typically would have a lifetime of say 1 to 4-5 months, and there's one product category which is you know, nano and double charge, where we have seen a lot of aggression on pricing, margins which we feel are absolutely unsustainable. And also places where the unit, and a lot of places where both margins were very low and the credit history or the credit profile of the customer was not too good. So these are the areas that we have kind of stepped back from. We still do some medium to low margin business where there is zero credit risk if the customer is willing to pay in advance. But areas where there is uncertainty about payment timelines and the margins are low, we have consciously try to keep away. And a lot of that business has kind of come in quarter one.
Okay, makes sense. And just connected question, if you could help us sort of, you already called out that, you know, from here on quarters, every quarter would be some improvement, and last two quarters are H2 being stronger for us. In terms of margin, do you think that would be similar trajectory, or you think a lot of variables at play?
See, Devesh, there are too many variables for sure. You know how the global economy for the entire system is looking like right now. Yeah, it's pretty fragile. But having said that, despite all this volatility, one thing which I said, which I'll hold on to, which is the scale. As you know, traditionally all our other quarters have been pretty strong. Quarter three is stronger than quarter two. Quarter four is generally stronger than quarter three. So at least that scale advantage will come in, which will help us improve our margins to that extent. But yes, you know, pricing and variable costs are not in anyone's hand, right? We'll try and do what we can do, at least on product mixes and making our lines far more, efficient. Yeah, our production process is far more leaner to the extent possible. This is what we have been doing. I think we'll continue to do that.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Thank you for the answers.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit Jeswani from Stallion Assets. Please go ahead.
Hi, Manshu. Hi, Aditi. Just been looking at your journey for the last 4 years. You guys have done a wonderful job. I've barely seen ever a mid-sized company like yours having better balance sheet than the market leader. So well done on that side. Just trying to understand that what... My team member was asking about how do we scale from 600 crores. We've already got, let's say, the tech right. We have optimized on cash. We've got the balance sheet right. Now comes the scale-up part. How will we, because we are already at, let's say, 90% capacity utilization on our own manufacturing this quarter. But how do we get to, let's say, 1,000 crore? Like, basically... If the market leader is growing at 15-20% volume growth, that is what they guided for yesterday on the con call. How do we scale faster than what is the advantage that we have? Is it the cost advantage? Like, what are the things that we'll have to create to basically move from 600 crores to 1,000 crores at least?
So thanks, Amit. I think great question. I kind of partially answered this in Arpit's first question. So I won't repeat that. That's part of the answer, but I'll kind of add a few more things to this. See, we have historically been a North and an East-centric company. If you see our investor presentation, you'll see that a large, disproportionately large part of our business comes out of North and East and South and West, which by themselves are very, very big consuming markets, Orient Bell has been very weak. So one area of scale-up, you talked about learning, getting from 650 crores to 1,000 crores and beyond. One part of the puzzle, one part of the solution lies in South and West, where it's kind of a virgin market for us. So that's one part of the equation that we have to fix. Just to give you a sense, last year we did about 70% of our business was North and East. South and West was just about 30% of our business. And obviously this is not how the market is. The second part of this scaling up, Amit, is the product profile. We have about 60% ceramics, 40% vitrified. In vitrified, also I'll focus on GVT. The larger companies that you are talking of, the ratio would be reversed. They would be maybe 60% of vitrified and 40% of GVT. 40% of ceramics. So this is another big opportunity, big growth area for us. So how do we build up our vitrified a product profile? That is one part of it on the product side across the country. And the second part is how do we disproportionately grow and get the West and the South business firing for ourselves. And all the tech piece and all the discipline on balance sheet and stuff which you're doing would kind of help us create the resources for all of this scaling up.
So we are at 150 crore revenues. How much would be the tech piece which would have contributed on this 150 crores?
So I mean, it's difficult to say, to give you an exact distinction, but for example, our Orient, our OBTB, the Orient Bell Tile Boutiques, which are display centers, they give us about 35-36% of our total sales. Now, these are the places where, you know, the consumer actually comes face to face with all the technology tools that we have put out there. And this figure, you know, 3 years back, 2 years back, it was about 30% of our sales. Last year, it was 35% of our sales. We are adding a net add, not even gross add. I'm talking of net add there. Excuse me. Q1, we have added almost one OBTB every 4 days or so. Last year also we kind of maintained that same pace. We expect to keep growing it, obviously with South and West as our focus. So we are getting a lot of this, but you know, it's not like an e-commerce business where people are kind of going onto your website and ordering things, which can give you a very clear answer that so many people are ordering online and all. So it is an online come offline business. People are using our online tools, our digital tools, to discover Orient Bell, to discover our products, to do some kind of a shortlisting of our products, and then they walk into the OBTV, the display, listen to a dealer point, and complete the purchase. Unfortunately, the way it's structured is the dealer secondary is something which we don't get visibility on.
Got it. Okay. Just one last question on the pricing power side. Is our pricing in line with, let's say, the market leader, or we have to give, let's say, 3-5% discount?
We add a discount to the market leader, definitely, and that shows up in the EBITDA margins also. I think for last quarter also, there was 5 or 6%. So we had a discount with them. But I would say that except the market leader, we would be almost at par with every other player on pricing. Anecdotal evidence, we review the projects that we lose every month with our enterprise team. And I've seen that over the last 6-9 months, the number of projects that we are losing to the top two or top three tile companies is much, much higher than what we lose to other players and all. So we are kind of getting closer to them in pricing. One of the price increases that we took last year, I think last year the price increases that OBL took were much more than any company, and I repeat, there's any company in the industry. And we have kind of held on to those margins.
So the market leader does an ROIC of broadly 25-27%, right? How do we get to that 20% plus ROIC mark if we are selling at discounts? We'll have to create some kind of other efficiencies, right, to get to the 20-25% ROIC. Is that the goal that we have, that we move to a 20-25% ROIC business model?
Hey, Manshu, why don't you answer this?
Yeah, hi Amit. See, I would not talk about aspirations right now. You know, let me say what we've been doing. We've been improving our EBITDA margins every now and then, and we have been actually trying and pushing more money into strategic areas, whether it's on the people front, whether it's on marketing initiatives, etc. Yeah, so we are putting in, you know, just to share with you, on marketing, you know, counting in whatever support we give on sampling, on COCOs, on our own manpower, yeah, which is housed here, to do all these marketing initiatives, all of that put together, broadly in the range of 3.5-4%. This is what we spend. Yeah, because unlike the past, I think we are pretty clear that these are areas where we need to invest on to be able to get us volumes, to be able to scale up, like you mentioned, at some point in our conversation. So idea would be to continue doing all of this and continue to improve our EBITDA without meaningful drag on the balance sheet. If all of this happens, then automatically your question on ROCE gets answered. It's improved from the past. I'm sure it will keep on improving. Maybe just to add on the scale up piece, what Aditya spoke about. See, you need to appreciate there are investments that we have already done or announced. This is adding almost 25% to our capacity, to the baseline capacity that we had, let's say, in the beginning of October 20 when we started with this CAPEX cycle, so almost 2 years back. With all of this new capacity coming into play, the moment it gets digested fully, you automatically get that advantage on the scale up. Yeah, apart from whatever we are doing on our distribution, on the multiple other things that Aditya talked about. So yes, all of this, plus whatever opportunities we are able to get out of trading, all of that should help us to move to the ranges that we talked about, no? Is that helping?
Yes, thank you so much, Himanshu. Thank you so much, Aditya. I wish you all the best. I would be in touch with you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Sir, taking over from the last speaker's question, sir, talking about convergence between our parameters and the market leader, sir, in the fourth quarter of last year, we had closed that gap in terms of margins by large extent by doing 12% operating margin, whereas the market leader was at 15% operating margin. So now in the first quarter, our margins have declined from 12% to 8%, whereas the market leader has maintained 15% operating margin. So I'm unable to understand that seasonality should be affecting the whole industry. Like, for example, during the monsoons, all the cement company sales are down. So but how is it that the market leader sales quarter on quarter have declined only by 8.5%, whereas our revenues have declined sequentially by around 29%, and I guess the operating margin is a function of operating leverage, so that follows. So basically the question is, how is it that seasonality is hitting us so much? Is it that the north and east, the geographies where we are present, are more prone to this seasonality?
Hi Keshav, I think you partly answered the question yourself. Seasonality definitely plays, number one. I mentioned this to someone else as well when we were talking about this, to Arpit. In our case, like I said, we do more projects. And therefore, when we stock up more, when we sell more to projects end of March, they stock up and they obviously don't buy in quarter one. So seasonality has always been there in Orient Bell versus, let's say, the other players. Our quarter two is bigger than quarter one, quarter three is bigger than quarter two generally, and quarter four is obviously the best. This is how it has played, at least historically, for Orient Bell. Now, coming to your question on the margins, I think what you should also remember is how our margins are improving on a YOY basis on, let's say, something which is pre-normalized quarter one. Compare quarter one to quarter one. If you start comparing sequentially, yes, there is a merit of doing that, but then the scale and the efficiencies also come into play. I think what you should appreciate is that the costs are going up, which is very, very clear. The fuel cost per se has gone up much, much more. The input costs are rising at the same time. With scale not being the same as quarter four, obviously you had an impact coming into play in quarter one. Part of this was negated, like I said, you know, via the pricing which was already there last year, the increases that we implemented, continuing to stay put. We also took a bit of a price increase in April end, which also helped. But more importantly, I think, you know, we have been working extensively on the cost optimization projects. So just to give you a sense, on a like-for-like basis, I mentioned in my opening speech, we were still down 2% sequentially. So that's a saving which has flowed into the P&L, whether we see this or not. Yeah. So I think we are doing what best is possible under the circumstances, with leverage coming into play, the scales coming into play, post-expansion, etc. That should get addressed. I could have obviously, you know, cut down on my investments onto strategic things. Like I said, on people front, we still hired 20 more new accounts. We did invest on marketing, like I said, 3.5-4%. If I wanted, I could have cut it down very easily and then let the margins be where it could have been. Yeah. But I think the idea is not to cut corners very, very clearly. And I think Aditya also mentioned that we actually allowed a little bit of project to actually go off. Yeah. Because of the aggressiveness that was perhaps demanded on the pricing or the credit side. This is not something that we wanted to do immediately. We didn't want to take a lead on pricing or credit aggressiveness in the market. No?
Sure, sir. Very much appreciated. And sir, lastly, just wanted to understand about the demand environment in general and also the possibility of taking further price hikes, since you mentioned that gas prices are still going up.
So Keshav, let's see, quarter two has just started. As I said earlier, the volumes are softer than the top line. This thing, volume growth, you have seen yourself, is lesser than the value growth across. Let's see how it plays up. In terms of pricing, I think over the last 9 to 12 months, we have recovered, kind of, we have increased our profit margins. Obviously means that we have passed more than the cost push onto the market. So I don't see any immediate initiative to push selling prices until unless you know, things at the industry level get a bit cleaner and a bit smoother.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of K.R. Senthilnathan from NAFA AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions are already answered. So just want to know, how much is our percentage in terms of north and east and south and west on overall revenue in Q1 vis-a-vis last quarter?
Just a second. I think it is 70 is north and east. And, oh no, sorry, for the first half, 70 is north and east and 30 is the south and west.
And vis-a-vis last quarter, sir?
So
more of the same or?
Quarter was also the same.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kamlesh Kotak from AMSEC. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to have a broad understanding of what's your assessment of medium to long-term demand outlook across all the four key markets, maybe retail, commercial, government, and project on one side, and also if you can highlight the same from the context of rural versus urban or tier 1, tier 2 markets.
So Kamlesh, I think the tier 1, tier 2 markets would definitely lead the growth. So that we have been seeing for the last couple of years, and I think that's kind of a secular trend which will maintain. That's one part of the answer. Now, on the second part, I think medium to long term, I am very bullish. I think the building and construction industry has been coming out of recession after the multiple shocks of demonetization, the RERA implementation, GST, and all of that. I think people are building, people are getting back into real estate. So medium to long term, I'm very bullish about the building and construction sector. And building and construction sector does well, we automatically do well. There is a short term worry in terms of how inflation is panning out, in terms of cost, construction cost, which involves not just us, but steel, cement, and etc. and all. So there might be some dips called one or two quarters here and there, but long term, I'm very positive.
And sir, can you dissect it further from the residential, commercial, government and project point of view, and which are the pockets which are leading a laggard which you may see?
So I think the government has been building quite aggressively, and my sense is that the government and the private leasing would lead the growth. Not much of figures are available on this kind of a breakdown on demand. But my sense is that private residential and the government project business would continue to do well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just one more bit of understanding. You said 70-30 is between Northeast and Southwest is the revenue mix. How is our distribution mapped across these regions?
So I guess it's similarly in the sense that the reason we are weak in South and West is that we do not have the distribution channel, we do not have the display, the OBTBs out there. That's the way it has historically been.
So are we consciously working towards getting more of attraction in the other markets in terms of distribution ramp up or marketing spend? Is there any strategy that we are working on?
Yes, we are. We are, as I said earlier, this is South and West growth. We have identified as a major opportunity for us. And we have, for example, we have added people. We have split some of the larger zones. Now we have a separate South 1 and a South 2 zone. We have added manpower in Western India, both in the project business and in the retail business. So all of this has already been done. Now we are in the process of adding up our distribution, our channel partners and display areas and all. So there is a conscious strategy behind it which is being executed.
Fine. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bismit Naik from RW Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Just one question on project mix. How has it changed from Q4 to Q1?
Just a second. Just put up Q4. Okay. One second. So Q1 was the same as last year. We had this also. I said this before also. We are now classifying projects as one which have done at least a 3,000 square meter volume in the quarter. That's what we are kind of calling a project, just for the sake of consistency. So this quarter it was 21%. And I don't have the quarter four figure in front of me, but I think it will be higher than 21%. Because typically quarter four is where a lot of projects get closed.
What is the general ballpark for quarter four?
FY22 full year number of projects was also 21%. So the first quarter is at par with that. Maybe we can, Ashish, if you can just note it down. Just pull out the quarter four figure from, I think it will be 3-4% higher is a ballpark figure, but I don't remember exactly. Maybe the Pareto team can actually give you the number, the exact number later.
Sure. So this seasonality has only to do with projects and not to do with geography or vitrified mix or anything, correct?
I didn't get the question.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, yeah. So the seasonality that we have seen, which is higher than the market leader, this is only because of our higher project mix relative to the market leader, correct? And not because of geography or change in mix or any other factor?
No, largely what you said is right. Projects.
Okay, understood. So Q4 number would be around? Do you have it in front of you, or?
So what do you mean? Q4 numbers?
Q4 project number. Q4 project percentage wise asking for, you have it right now.
That we'll provide to you separately.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Naisar Parikh from Native Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity again. My question is on capacity. You said we are at 32 million. Where would we be, by year end? And, given that we are already at 90% utilization and that we are bullish on the demand, what is the plan, after that, if you could just highlight that.
Nice, sir. Like we shared, our capacity, there are two plants which have gone live, in terms of the CapEx which has gone live on the 28th of June, right? So the last quarter capacity utilization of 90% does not include the new capacities which have come up already, yeah? So that should give us a kicker already now in quarter two, quarter three. More importantly, the hotspot project which is going on right now should close sometime in quarter two, quarter three. It's on track. By the end of the year, we should be close to, 33.8 or something. Plus, like I said, there is already a kicker available in terms of the incremental volume potential by outsourcing some of our low margin products to Morbi. So that in total, what we are saying is approximately 35 million square meters available to us one way or another. So that should give us enough headroom to grow in this year in terms of volumes. Moving on, yes, like I've shared on the previous calls also, there are things in the making. I don't want to discuss them right now. Allow us more time. I think we have already done 25% of our baseline in terms of volume expansion, in terms of the capacity expansion. Give us more time. I'm sure we will be able to give you some more details around the larger CapEx as and when it is formalized.
Got it. Sure. No, thank you. It's helpful. And on the vitrified to ceramic ratio, I want to understand the Dora conversion you said is completed. So, when does the sales would get start? And secondly, despite the Dora getting added, what is the reason for drop in vitrified in this quarter? Maybe Dora got added towards the end, but still, what was the reason for the drop in vitrified share?
So Dora CapEx went live, like I said, on the 28th of June. Yeah, the plant was also under a bit of a shutdown, which has also, in a way, impacted our sales in quarter one. So that has no correlation with whatever we did in terms of vitrified now. The vitrified capacity becomes available to us now in quarter two. Yes, there was a bit of a drop in vitrified, like what Aditya mentioned as part of his opening speech also. We did not selectively pick up certain project orders where it was more like a commoditized, low value, low margin products, traded products, largely double charge and nano. Yeah. So this is where we let the business go in the interest of margins, in the interest of credit, etc. Yeah, this is why you're seeing a slight drop, let me say, in terms of the vitrified versus ceramic. Correct?
Got it. Okay, got it. Just last question, even if we exclude the projects, right, even if there is a 4-5% higher projects in Q4, it's obviously still much larger decline for us versus industry, even in the retail sales from Q4 to Q1. What would be the reason for that?
Well, sir, I thought we already answered that. We already spoke about that.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, we have reached
just one thing. I think just go back to Kamlesh. Kamlesh, we got out the figure. It was 23.5% for quarter four. The project salience was 2.5% more in quarter four versus quarter one.
Okay. Thank you. As there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you. I think you all have been patient, and your support to OBL obviously counts. If there are any more questions, please feel free to come to any of us. The Pareto team is there. Our people here are there, and you can obviously approach Aditya or me anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Orient Bell Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.